back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We feel very strongly about the core of young players, talented young players that we have. You've seen the development of those guys and what our staff was able to do with a Xavier Rhodes, with Sharif Floyd, how Harrison Smith is, you know, even Anthony Barr, who we think is going to be a very unique talent. Now, if we can continue to add to those pieces that we have built in already, we're very excited about the direction of this team.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. I think so anyway. I know you don't.
No, I don't think
I don't care what you think. I think that he's done a pretty good job. If you look at the last three years.
A pretty good job. But when he fired Leslie Frazier, he said it's because of consistency. He wasn't consistent. And that's when I think of Rick Spielman. I think of being inconsistent. Not when it comes to trading around this or that or doing this or moving up or moving back or getting extra picks or moving back into the first round. He's consistent in that. It's in what he drafts that I feel like is so inconsistent.
I don't feel like you're very open-minded. I don't feel like you're giving it a chance. I'm looking at some of these people that he's still got playing on this team. Most of them are still here, too, in over the past 3 years. I mean, I don't know about you, but I kind of like this whole thing. Where was I looking at this? Say something, because I'm trying to find the end of the... Say something, because I'm trying to find the end of these... He had the 2013, 14, and 15. Yeah, these aren't bad. These are pretty good.
Not bad. Most notable draftees include Adrian Peterson, pretty good. Sidney Rice, pretty good. Detroit Guyon, John Sullivan, pretty good. Percy Harvin, Phil Loadholt.
How far does he go back? What year?
Chris Cook, Toby Gerhardt, Christian Ponder.
He goes back to 07 then, right?
Yeah.
Rick Spielman?
Yeah. Adrian Peterson was
I'll tell you what. First deal. The Peterson thing? Even Rice had a good year, but you don't go by one good year. He had a terrible first year. I don't know what we're going to call his actual years. The last three is general manager, I think, right?
Okay.
We're not going to go back to 07 when he arrived here, right? Has Spielman been here? It was 2007 was his first year with the Vikings. Is that correct?
2006 was vice president of player personnel. 2012, he's been the general manager, but he's been the guy drafting the players since 2006.
Not completely. Not completely. But he's had everything to do the last 3 years, for sure. 12, 13, 14. So that goes Matt Khalil, and then it goes Harrison Smith, Josh Robinson, Jarius Wright, Red Ellison, Childs, who fell apart, came in with Jarius Wright from Arkansas. Remember him?
Yep.
Blew both knees at the same time. Unbelievable. Robert Blanton, Blair Walsh, Audie Cole. Guy on two. That actually turned out to be okay, but a lot of those guys are still playing in the NFL. Then you have Floyd and Rhodes, as you mentioned, Patterson, which is, that could have been, that. Listen, that could be a big bust because of the way that has played out.
But how about Marcus McCauley in the third round? Terrible. Andre Allison, round.
Who,
terrible.
What, where?
Rufus Alexander, sixth round. Terrible. Tyler Thigpen, gone. Chandler Williams, never heard of him.
Where are you talking about?
2007.
Those aren't his years.
Yes.
There were a lot of people involved in that. Lots of people were involved.
2008, Terrell Johnson, second round pick. How'd he do? John David Booty, fifth round pick. Terrible.
You can't weigh that in.
Jamar Johnson, sixth round pick. Awful.
Yeah. I'm going last 3 years.
I'm worried about the fact that he drafts people like Asher Allen in the third round for cornerbacks. If we don't take a cornerback in the first round, and obviously I feel so much more comfortable with Mike Zimmer being in the room.
See, Zimmer might have a little bit to say about it, but I think that Rick Spielman has most to say about that. And
sure
I think
does.
That before in the past with Childress and some other coaches, they have had more input along with the owner than even Spielman did.
I want Trey Waynes from Michigan State. I know you do, too.
I do.
But when it comes to Rick Spielman drafting cornerbacks, Chris Cook, how'd that turn out?
It wasn't him.
What do you mean?
Well, it wasn't just him.
Brandon Burton in the fifth round in 2011, how'd that work out?
Wasn't him.
Josh Robinson, third round, 2012.
Bad news. That's bad. It's just that has not worked out for me. You want to talk last 3 years? We'll talk last 3 years. 12, 13, 14.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's how I'm weighing into Rick.
Okay, 2013, Jeff Locke, worst punter in the NFL in the last 2 years, took him in the fifth round because
he had such a hard-on
of getting what's-his-toes out of here. He had such a hard-on to get Chloe out of here that he took Jeff Locke in the fifth round. He's been the worst punter in the NFL in the last 2 years.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yes, stats-wise.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think the net. I don't think his net yardage is that it would prove that to be such.
38th out of 40 punters. Last 2 years.
32 teams.
But I know, anyway, but there've been 40 punters.
Net yardage or gross or what are we doing? Kicking for average or out of bounds? Directional punting.
You can't tell me Jeff Locke is a good punter.
I don't think he's had. I think he's had some decent years. I think he's had one good year.
What?
I think Locke has actually done okay. And you don't really know what you have with a punter or a kicker until year three. He's only been here two.
Oh, good. Well, thank God we picked him in the fifth round.
Mike Mowdy, bad. See, that's a bad draft. Right now, he's a bust. Mike Mowdy is a monster out of Penn State that everyone thought would be the we don't even talk about Mike Mowdy as the next guy that would fill in the middle now that Jasper Brinkley's gone. He isn't even mentioned. I got news for you. That's exactly what kind of guy he was at Penn State. We'll take your calls. You can be part of the argument. 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. If you'd like to take part in the Dick Spielberg argument.
Richard Spielstein's.
2012, 13, 14, we're not going back any further. Because then we know exactly what we're comparing to. And I don't want to weigh in other coaches and what kind of say they had in the room, because we know that he was hired as the general manager 3 years ago. And that's where he made his money. I mean, now he has to answer to everything and anything that happened in those years. That's just the way I see it.
Jim Baca, how's he doing?
Horrific. He's terrible.
651-989-9105. We'll continue to talk about Rick Spielman and his
Ponder. I think that he gets a lot of. I think he gets a lot of the blame for Ponder, but I think a lot of that was Frazier. A lot of that was Leslie Frazier too.
No.
I think it was. I don't think that he's done. I think he's done about as good a job in taking players that have value and have carried now 3 and 4 years. And that's a pretty good roster. If you can keep that many players assembled, you can go back 3, 4 years, even to 2011, which I'm not counting really. How about Ponder, Rudolph, Ballard from Iowa quits. Just quits and goes home. Tired of playing football. Good Lord. Yeah, Fusco. Turned out pretty good. Come on back, everybody. We're going to do a little talk. And we do this again. We'll do some more of this. Come on back and join us. 651-989-9105. Radioactive Sports. Radioactive Sports continues on. The Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. Breaking down some of the draft tendencies of Rick Spielman, as seen by Ryan Bozer on VikingsTerritory.com. Interesting sort of way of categorizing what he's done as the GM over the last 3 years. I don't know exactly what his reign was before that. I don't know what that was, what his duties, actual duties were as far as actually selecting and picking.
But he's been a part of eight drafts.
Well, he's been a part of eight drafts.
And so I would nail him to those eight drafts. Do I think he's done a pretty good job the last couple of years? Yes. Do I think last year's draft was the best that I've seen, and maybe in Vikings franchise history, since my lifetime anyway? Yes. Yeah. However, he's been inconsistent, in my opinion.
Well, in part, those first, give or take, 5 years or whatever, I think that you probably have a pretty good case. There's no question about it.
I think we need to draft a punter again. Jeff Locke is god-awful.
Well, I like the fact that he has drafted two of the three kickers or punters that have been drafted in the last 3 years. Because there is a need for special teams and good mm-hmm. quality special team play. I'll tell you, Cluey wasn't having a very good year. The last couple of years, he didn't have very good years.
I'd take Cluey's worst year against these last 2 years of Jeff Locke. Special teams are extremely important. Just as important, sometimes they may be even more important than the offense and defense when it comes to field
third
position.
Of the game. And, I love the fact that he respects that, too.
In scoring and just the nuts and bolts of a football game.
Very much so. It's all the real estate that's exchanged between two teams.
And he's terrible at it. Blair Walsh has been pretty good.
He made the Pro Bowl. Yeah. He made 12 straight 50s and beyond.
His rookie year.
And carried over into the second year.
And then
he started missing
yeah.
a few of those. However, I think he's still a very good clutch kicker. That was one of the biggest stretches I think I've ever remembered, is letting go of maybe one of the best veteran free agents that he signed, was Ryan Longwell. Letting him go. Just, you're off and you're out of here.
Ryan Longwell was consistent, but not from long range, and that's, I mean,
he was good from 50.
The reason. Inside 50. The 50.
No.
Had to be inside 50.
So you think that if Brett Favre falls forward, and we kick a 51-yard field goal, a 51-yard field goal, I think he's good for it. I think he's good for it.
I would certainly.
I think he makes that field goal eight times out of ten.
We're talking Rick Spielman and his draft tendencies at 651-989-9105. Victor from St. Paul, you're on 105 The Ticket.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Doing relatively well. I don't know. I got gas.
Well, I mean, at least we're not trapped in what we probably are. Anyhow, y'all are hurting my feelings. One, bringing up old memories with the Brett Favre, Shane Sly type of thing. Long field goes. That hurts.
Yeah.
But,
me too, buddy.
But moving on from that, outside of, like, and here's the thing. Every team has good and bad picks. Like, if you could go up and down the line of a lot of teams' picks, you probably see worse more than good. But Rick's actually done pretty good. I'll feed off of what y'all were saying with special teams.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys I actually like a lot, Adam Thielen. That was somebody they picked out of our backyard here.
Yep.
And, you know, you watch him on special teams, he's like, you're waiting on something special almost every time he's on the field.
I agree.
When it comes to some of the picks, the easy one, Harrison Smith, you can go Xavier Rhodes, Sharif Floyd. And like y'all said, there's some that aren't as good, but it's one of those things where it's a draft, right? It's a gamble no matter what you're going to do. Because, Greg Childs, I think it was? The receiver from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought he was going to be something special until he bumps up and he just ends up wrecking both his knees.
He blew both patella tendons on the same play. I can't believe it. I can't even imagine that.
And, you know, those type of things happen. And then you get some people that have harder work at it. It's hard to kind of pinpoint because, like I'm sure a lot of people in Minnesota want Trey Waynes like you guys, you know.
Yeah,
and, I love that guy. Or you could go for that tackle. What is it, Sheriff?
Sheriff from Iowa is a guard. Actually,
yeah, Brandon Sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
He could be great like Khalil one year, and then he could just fall off the map.
Yeah.
It's a gamble.
But it is.
For the most part, I think he's done okay.
No, I think okay is absolutely right when it comes to Rick Spielman. I like what he's done in the recent past here, and I completely agree with you, Victor, from St. Paul. It makes sense, but when you're a general manager and you're drafting these teams, and they obviously should better your team, then why are we, let's go back to 2008, when he first joined the team, 2007. 2008, okay, if he wasn't making all of the decisions, but he was a big part in making the decisions, we drafted 12th. Then 22nd, because the year in 2009, after Adrian Peterson had his 2,000-yard rushing. 2010, drafted 2nd. 2011, 12th. 2012, 3rd. 2013, pretty good year. That was the year Adrian Peterson. That was 23rd. Then back to 9th again. And now we're at 11th. There's just no success. You would think if he's such a great drafter, this team would be good. Why aren't the Minnesota Vikings good and growing and progressing with these young players that he's drafting? That's why I don't think he's doing that great of a job.
Let me piggyback off that, and I'm sure Mike's waiting to jump in on this one. I honestly would have to say coaching for the other ones, because up until we got the current staff that we had, watching the Vikings as a team as a whole outside of Adrian Peterson, we didn't really have a lot to offer, and once we got this coaching staff in, I think the whole state was revitalized again. And I mean, don't get me wrong, we're what, 11th?
Yes.
It wasn't the best year. We lost the best running back in the NFL at that time, so we could have probably been a few spots up. But could you imagine the years going forward? We haven't had a staff like this here in a long time since, what, mm-hmm. Denny Green?
Mm-hmm. Probably so. I would think so.
But 8 years. 8 years you're going to blame all on coaching? 8 years.
Well, I don't know. Well,
three different coaches.
Well, yeah. What is wrong with 2009 NFC Championship game? Should have been the Super Bowl.
That was all Brett Favre.
So you're not going to say Percy Harvin. You're not going to say Phil Loadholt. You're not going to say, I think might have been the same year. I'm not totally sure on this. Jared Allen wasn't close to it, though. But he was part of that deal, too.
We had a great...
Jamarcus Sanford, Jasper Brinkley was also part of the 2009. And then 2010, he got Everson Griffin in here. Yeah.
He also got Nathan Triplett and Chris DeGear and Joe Webb and Mickey Schuler Jr. and Ryan D'Imperio.
I saw Joe Webb win a game in Philadelphia.
In the second round, and then Christian Ponder, and then Christian Ballard.
Who's
that
Rudolph guy?
And then
Mr.
Raymond, and then Ross Holman, then DeAndre Reed. I mean...
What about Fusco? You don't like him.
No, I like Fusco. I'm just saying.
I mean, he's found some people. Now, and you have to, if you're going by 2008, 2009, I mean, he only had 5 draft picks both those 2 years.
Stillman wiggles, though. He goes up and down a lot.
He does, but in 2008, listen to this, Victor. Tyrell Johnson, John David Booty, LaTroy Guyon, John Sullivan, sure. Jamar Johnson.
That's all he had. I don't know how many. I don't know if he even really was putting drafts together to trade in, out, up, down. He's only got 5, and only 5 in 2009. And then he starts making it a farm system because he's drafting more guys and hoping more land, and they build from within, mm-hmm. just like the Packers do.
2010, my favorite draft: Chris Cook, Toby Gerhardt, Everson Griffin.
There's a couple.
Chris DeGear. Nathan Triplett, Joe Webb, Mickey Schuler Jr.
Well, you can say what you want to about Toby Gerhardt. That was a pretty good player. You can definitely say something about Everson Griffin, I think, is a pretty good player. The rest of them suck ass. Sorry.
2011, love that one, too. Christian Ponder,
Kyle Rudolph,
Ballard, Brandon Burton, DeMarcus Love, Mistrell Raymond, Brendan Fusco, good. Ross Holman, DeAndre Reed, Stephen Burton. I'm just saying, if he's going to fire Leslie Frazier, and I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think at the time we were all a little bummed because we like Leslie Frazier as a guy.
Great guy.
But he said it was because he wasn't being consistent. And so I'm always going to go back and say, all right, well, Rick Spielman, Dick Springsteen, let's talk about consistency with you. Everett Dawkins, Travis Bond, Michael Mowdy hasn't turned into anything. Where's Jeff Baca? Jeff Locke, worst punter in the NFL.
But now if we talk about some of these guys, that's... 6-7 A, B, and C for 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, so I don't know who cares
championship
about them.
Teams find people in the later rounds and turn them into studs.
I would say that he's got most of those players over the last 3 years still on the team. Khalil, Harrison Smith, Josh Robinson, Jarius Wright, and Red Ellison. And then you got the next year Floyd, Rhodes, Patterson, Hodges, Locke. In 2014, he's got Barr, Bridgewater, Crichton, who is a big question mark, McKinnon, and David Yanke.
I'm not arguing to say Rick Spielman needs to be fired because, like I said, last year's draft may have been the best in Vikings draft history, in my opinion.
It was a good one.
Even the seventh rounder, Shamar Stephen, defensive tackle. He's a beast in the middle. Brandon Watts, we both like him. He's a great special teams guy. Price, love him, but we were talking last week about Watts maybe even being a possibility at a starting linebacker spot this year.
He's a stud.
Last year's draft was awesome. If we can do that again and continue to build on that, then we're time to play ball. Let's go.
I think so, too, and I really don't even have enough background or enough research to be able to tell you what he did 2007 through 2011. But I do know that we went to the NFC Championship game. By all rights, should have been in the Super Bowl. I can say that. That's good enough. I mean, someone's doing some things right. I know a hell of a lot of it was Brett Favre. Also, a lot of it was the staff that was in here and that system that was waiting for a quarterback that knew the system to come in and actually execute. I think Brett Favre knew that system pretty well.
Brett Favre knew the system, but he also would get calls into his headphones in the huddle and then go up to the line of scrimmage and change everything.
Well, I mean, that's beveling him. I mean, that's his boy. So I don't know what they had. I don't know what was on the table or what he was given the leeway to go ahead and do on his own. But if he saw something up there, I'm sure that Bevel said, "Yeah, run it."
Yes, of course.
I mean,
one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Oh yeah,
that's the reason you bring him in here, to let him do that stuff.
Well, and he did too. But I still think that when you find Harvin and Lodeholt the same year and Jasper Brinkley, and you can say what you want to about Jamar Sanford. But he was a pretty tough guy. He was a tough guy on special teams, and he actually filled in quite nicely for a couple injury situations that I think made him fairly valuable.
I'm excited for this year's draft, and I can't wait till the end of the month because I do believe in Rick Spielman. I want what happened last year to happen again this year because that was an A-plus draft.
These guys are going to be good. If they stay healthy, for once, can we just have a team here in Minnesota that is healthy, that doesn't get hurt and nicked up before the season even begins? I like these guys. I like the last two or three years have been a really good, solid nucleus of players. 1 through 5 has been really good. 1 through 4 for sure.
I would say even the 6th and 7th rounders last year are fantastic. Anton Exum could be your starting safety this year. Love him to death. Kendall James, I don't really necessarily know about him. Shamar Stephan, I think, is fantastic.
They love him.
Wouldn't put it past him to be starting caliber defensive tackle. Got him in the 7th round, Jabari Price.
Exum can hit.
Hope he picks it up, and if anybody's going to teach him, it's going to be Mike Zimmer and the defensive backs coach. I'm drawing a blank on his name. I can see his face right now, but I love him. Used to be the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills back in the day.
Okay. You know what? And by the way, Crichton and Yankee. Got a long ways to go, guys.
Yeah, but at the same time, you think about it, Sharif Floyd didn't play really at all. I mean, he played sparingly, but he at least got in the field a little bit his rookie year.
I can see now what they were talking about with Sharif Floyd.
Well, the same thing, hopefully, is going to happen with Scott Crichton, was taken in the 3rd round, hopefully, and then David Yankee in the 5th round.
Floyd's real deal.
But Christian Ponder, Jeff Locke, anybody go back?
Locke isn't that bad.
Jeff Baca.
Who's Jeff Baca? What did he play? Did he ever play?
Guard.
Oh, he was?
Certainly could have used a guard.
Damn it. How about Nate Triplett from here?
Yeah,
the
love
University
that guy.
Of Minnesota.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Maybe. Ross Holman, love that guy from Ohio State. DeAndre Reed, Arizona. Stephen Burton, wide receiver, West Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah.
DeMarcus Love, offensive tackle, Arkansas.
Child could have been good. Damn it.
Mickey Shuler's my favorite, tight end, Penn State. Terrible. Ryan DeImperio.
His dad was really good. DeImperio played a couple years.
Chris
Fullback.
DeGuire.
He played linebacker, played special teams. DeImperio actually played a long time.
John David Booty. Great pick. Way to go,
Dick. There were some pretty good players in front of him.
Marcus McCauley, great pick.
Well, Booty was actually behind some good players.
Rufus Alexander, best linebacker in the history of the Minnesota Vikings. Tyler Thigpen, love that guy. Chandler Williams.
He wasn't that bad a player.
Chandler Williams.
Thigpen is still playing. Well, backing up.
Victor from St. Paul, thanks for calling. Love you.
Yeah, we appreciate all that.
Hey, quick question.
Yep.
I was going to say, comment. If Rick is to have a great year, like, I don't think anything's going to really top last year's, but this year would be a good year to have it because Chicago's going to be down a little bit.
Yeah.
And Detroit's going to be down. And Green Bay just lost a few of their backfields. So if we could probably get some nice players,
yeah,
it would be a good time to take a nice leap.
Man, I'm telling you what, Victor, you're talking the talk now. If they go cornerback, left guard, middle linebacker in this draft,
I think it's going to be. I think they're going to trade down, and that's Shaq Thompson, linebacker. But I like Eric Kendricks too from UCLA to go in the second round.
I do too.
Get a guard in the 3rd round, maybe.
His brother's already playing in the league with Philadelphia, so he's a good player. But no, if we can just come in here with Trey Waynes, I'm happy.
Yes.
Go left guard. I don't care what you do with the left guard, but make sure he is a bona fide stud. And there are a lot of those in the draft. And then a middle linebacker. And, go ahead and trade Adrian Peterson and get another couple number ones.
Boom. Then we get Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley, too, in the first round.
Get them both. There you go. Done deal. Come on back, everyone. Jim Rich next.
Wow. Oh, I want a beer.
I'm not worried.
Maverick.
I'm not worried. It's not like we were that bad. Let's not paint that picture. We played a pretty darn good hockey team. We knew that we were going to play their best game. We lost Mikko, and obviously that changes an awful lot as far as matchups, and power play got us a big goal to tie up the game, but throwing kind of a curveball there.
But you're not worried, are you?
I'm not worried.
Okay. Radio Action Sports, Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson. There's no way we could have picked up the phone and gotten Jim Rich. I've been watching him on TV, and he's still on.
He's shaking somebody's hand, and now he's talking Minnesota Twins. He was live from the XL Energy Center. I mean, how does he expect us to do a radio show with him if he's not even available?
I'm watching him right now.
Unbelievable.
Damn it.
The Wild, though, on Saturday, losing 3-2 in overtime, a shootout, actually, to the Detroit Red Wings. 44-26-8, fourth in the Central Division. Winnipeg Jets tonight, 7 o'clock, XL Energy Center. If the Wild beat the Jets in regulation tonight, they'll clinch a third straight postseason berth. They can also clinch by beating Winnipeg in overtime if the Los Angeles Kings lose in regulation to the Vancouver Canucks. But for the first time since January 19th and 20th, the Wild have dropped back-to-back games, causing me to worry just a little bit. But
I'm not worried.
Mike Yeo is not worried.
So you should feel okay.
I'm not. I don't trust Mike Yeo as far as I can throw him. I can throw him a decent amount because he's that tends to be just a smaller little Canadian guy that says bolt a lot. But
I'm not worried.
He's not worried. I'm worried. I'm worried.
I'm not worried about getting in. I'm worried about what you're going to do once you get in.
Well, I'm worried about that, too. I'm worried about a lot of things. I think the only game that, and I know we've the Minnesota Wild have won 10 straight on the road. They have to win this one tonight. They have to. Because they face Chicago, Nashville, and St. Louis on the road to wrap up the season. There are no guaranteed wins there. And the best place to win would be the XL Energy Center in St. Paul.
Winnipeg. It's J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. Take them downtown, bang. Get it done tonight at home.
I completely agree. We'll have to see what Jim Rich says.
Is he on or not?
They just got off the radio. But
okay.
The frustrations for the Wild, again, the power play. Let them down so many times this season. They were 1 of 6 on Saturday, which is actually pretty decent for the Minnesota Wild. Their power play ranks third worst in the NHL.
Well,
On Saturday, listen to this, though. They failed to get a shot on goal during 48 seconds of 5-on-3 advantage. 5-on-3.
I don't get it.
Couldn't even get a...
Well, it's because they're not even trying, apparently.
They spent more than 3 consecutive minutes on the power play in the second and produced nothing. They were given a power play, too, with 2:31 to play. Fruitless.
I'm watching this tonight instead of the doggone...
Doesn't surprise me. Jim Rich, nice haircut.
I'm not going to watch the national championship game. I'm going to watch
this...
What? It is a really good one. I was watching you. I didn't like your tie, though.
No. Oh, you don't like the red knit, I'm assuming.
I don't like it. You're trying to wear a power tie like Sam Donaldson. I don't like it.
I need to find all the power I can. I'm not like you and possess my own.
I'm not worried.
Well, I think you're doing just fine, Jim. Who were you talking to there? You had a young man pulled off to the side there.
That was Ryan Carter of your Minnesota Wild.
Wow, he's kind of
ready to do battle with the Winnipeg Jets here tonight.
That's why I told him he's a scrapper. So I told you he's a scrap. He's not that big, but he goes in there and he's not afraid to go in there and just get in somebody's grill. Jim Rich, though, Mike Yeo,
he's been playing.
Yeah, I know. What?
He is one of us.
Yeah. Jim Rich, been playing the little clip that Mike Yeo said.
I'm not worried.
I'm not worried. Are you worried?
No.
Why not?
It's fine. I mean, it's a 2-game losing streak, even though you got a point against Detroit, and this is the first time that the Wild have lost 2 games since mid-January. I think every other team in the National Hockey League has lost 2 games in a row between January and now. I may be wrong. I think we're probably one of the few, if not the only one, not to lose 2 in a row.
Jim Rich,
between then and then.
Yeah. I read somewhere that the Minnesota Wild could lose the rest of their games and still get in the playoffs.
Yep, there are scenarios where that could happen,
but
they don't want that. Obviously, then I would be concerned. If you went 0 for the rest of the way, that would not be a good thing.
Well, I think
they want to get it done here tonight and put the Jets out of their misery, put them in the rearview mirror, and grab your spot and get ready to go.
What do you think they're going to have in the playoffs? I mean, I think it's fairly safe to say that they're going to be in the playoffs, but what's going to be left in the tank to make any sort of viable push through the playoffs?
I don't think they've expended a lot of energy. You know, they had the 4 days off, these 2 games over the weekend, another day off yesterday. They'll have a day off Wednesday, and then Saturday is the end of the regular season. You get 3 days off, maybe 4, depending on where the National Hockey League sends you. The playoffs will either start April 15th or 16th. So there's enough time, plus there's enough bodies here. They'll start rotating people through the lineup when you get the spot clinched, because really the Wild can't move up, and they probably can't move down as far as the wild card goes. It looks like they're pretty much locked into where they're going to be. So this will be an opportunity for Yeo to play these guys that are coming back off of injury and to get everybody ready, healthy, and once they smell the Stanley Cup, that's what it's all about.
But
what these guys have been waiting for.
Yeah, but mentally is what I'm talking about, more so than physically. I mean, this push and all the pressure to get back in this thing and to find ourselves in it now, I mean, that has That's taking a toll. It's probably worn on them all this second half of the season. I mean, are they going to have that kind of mojo or energy to be able to go out there with that kind of attitude?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I mean, heck, you were successful doing this. It was one of the funnest runs that I think a professional team could have been on. I mean, to go like they did. I mean, their goal differential since Dubnyk arrived to a couple days ago was plus 45, meaning they scored 45 more goals than they gave up. The next closest team in the NHL was, I think, Calgary, and they were a plus 16. So, I mean, it's remarkable what this team has done. And I think they're feeling pretty good about themselves. I don't think there's any negative energy. Now, if they have to scramble and go right down to the last day and just to get in, yeah, then they'll be a little bitter. But I think right now they're very, very happy about themselves. We saw Zach Parise out on the bench, and he wanted to know the Twins score. So I don't think the pressure's getting to him yet.
Jim Rich, Fox 9. The thing that concerns me, though, the last couple of games is the power play. They've come off sluggish a little bit. I mean, they took them to the third period on Saturday to really get into it. They had a 5-on-3 advantage for 48 seconds on Saturday. Didn't even get a single shot on goal, a couple of chances to win it. I want to say a power play, 2:31 to play. That was also fruitless on Saturday, and so they seem like a different team coming off that four-day stretch where they didn't play. That's just me being your typical Minnesota sports fan that I'm worried about the worst, because, I mean, you think the Twins are going to be great, and then all of a sudden Irvin Santana suspended 80 games for PED use. You think you're excited for the Vikings season, new coach and new quarterback, some great first-round draft picks, Adrian Peterson indicted. I mean, it just never ends, and so that's why I feel like the sky is falling all the time.
Well, it very well could be, and the power play has been a sore point all season long, not just these last two games. In this overall league standings, they have the third worst power play in the entire National Hockey League. Yeah. Only Buffalo and Colorado are worse. And when you think about that, you think about the talent, Parise, Suter, Vanek. I mean, they're all-stars out there on these power plays, and they just can't get it done. And we had a camera in the locker room Saturday after the game, and reporters were asking about the power play. Nobody wanted to talk about it. Yeah. So that may be the one thing that could be, if you want to talk mentally, something that could bother this team, especially when you get into a playoff series and you know that power plays can be, you know, vital to your survival. That may be something that could be a concern. So hopefully they figure it out here in these last few games.
I'd rather the whole team have the mumps than be worried about the power play.
Yeah, I think they've made an awful lot out of it. I think that's most of it. I think it is a mental thing when you start making something huge out of something that probably should not have been a problem to begin with. But I'm with you, Jim. I hope they can just get past that and move on. But thank you for joining us and running from your television camera to get on with us. But we appreciate
it.
Well, yeah.
I appreciate it. How about don't we have time to talk about the bracket challenge?
Nope, unfortunately,
no,
don't.
Jim, I'm sorry. You know what? I don't think we're going to be able to. Time to go. We'll talk to you maybe tomorrow about that.
Okay.
Jim's doing very well. Thank you, Jim.
Cheer loud, because you need to be part of the home of the Home Ice Advantage, which is the dumbest slogan I've ever heard of before in my life.
But we are home already.
Good God.
Funny stuff.
Idiots.
Thank you, Jim. Hardball. That's what we're going to do next. We have a great start to our season. Mike Berardino is going to help us break that down. The big 0-4 loss to the Detroit Tigers. Mike Berardino for all you seam heads next.
From pro to time to oil up the mitts, it's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
The information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him leading the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Joe West, a check swing called by the home plate umpire, not the first base umpire, and Torrey very upset. Nathan gets his save.
Torrey tried to hold up.
No, he did
hold up.
That's a terrible way for the ball game to end, yeah. Especially when umpires are more often than not going to ask for help, and that's what Torrey was upset about. Paul Molitor's debut as manager ends up in a loss, and the Twins were pretty much stymied by one of the best in the business, David Price.
That from FSN.
Yeah, that one from MSN.
No.
You said MSN.
No.
Yeah.
No.
MNSN.
No.
Whatever you said.
No, that's not what I said at all.
We have Mike Berardino. He's going to join us now. I don't know what happened out there. It was a tough time for the Minnesota Twins, but we do bring Mike in every day at 5:30. And
brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted this nice. Refreshing.
Mike, what happened out there?
Well, David Price happened for much of the day, and good. That's not any great news flash that he could shut down a team in the opener, but they finally got David Price out of the game, and I'm not saying that they had the Tigers on the ropes or anything, but the reason Torrey was so upset for all those reasons that you just heard in that clip, but also that, you know, Joe Nathan's been pretty shaky here the last couple of years, and the fans weren't too pleased to see him in there, and if somehow Torrey could finagle his way on base there, then Kenny Vargas comes up, that's Ben's guy, as a potential tying run. So even in a 4-0 game, for it to end that way was disappointing.
Talking to Mike Berardino, Hardball with Mike Berardino every day at this time. Twins opener today, the baseball opening day. They played in Detroit. And so my question for you is, when they were introducing everybody, and you kind of alluded to it, Joe Nathan introduced, home crowd. He now plays for the Detroit Tigers, and just a ton of boos. Does he necessarily really deserve that? Has there been a back and forth between Joe Nathan and the fans, or is it just their disappointment in his play?
There was something last year. I don't know at all. It's kind of a blur to me. But there was something where he did answer them, maybe through the media, answered his critics a little bit, and the fans have held that against them. But mostly it's just blowing saves. And also the fact that they have Joaquin Soria behind him setting up, in theory, and he's been really good since they got him over here from Texas last year. And pretty much the only team that's made Soria struggle in the last year has been the Twins. They were a couple times with Texas, and they got him with the Tigers. But yeah, that's what Joe Nathan. I don't think he's done anything, you know, actionable or anything. And I think partially, I'll continue this. They probably continue to hold Joe Nathan accountable for sins of his many predecessors who have been poor in that bullpen. That's been an issue. It's the number one reason probably the Tigers have not won a championship during this this run of division dominance.
Mike, how did Paul Molitor seem after this one? Did you have a chance to stop off after the game?
Did I?
Yes.
That was my first stop. That's always how it'll be.
Okay.
It's always how it's
how was it?
That's our very first stop.
Atta buddy.
Very good.
I wouldn't
very
think
proud
of
you.
Walking. That's a good idea, though, to talk to the manager right after the game. I wouldn't think of walking by his office without checking in.
Fantastic.
And hearing his version of things. He handled it just fine. He did not resign after the game. He appears that he will take tomorrow off and come back on Wednesday. It was the opening day for anybody, stressful, even though they've been doing this for 25 years, but first time as a manager ever, and said he slept pretty well last night, but he was, you know, trying to run through that mental checklist all day. Didn't want to mess anything up. Didn't want to be a hindrance to the players, you know, as they tried to win the game. I don't think he was a hindrance to anybody today. In terms of button pushing, there was only so much you could do. When I think, you know, the fact that they put Arcia out there, who really struggles against left-handers, and they have Escobar sitting there off the bench and Mulder said before the game, and I asked him if using Escobar and his bench guys at some point this week. He wants to get Escobar about 2 starts this week out of 6 games, so this might have been a good one because David Price eats up lefties, he eats up everybody, but Arcia really can't hit him. Jordan Schaefer did get a single off of Price, which is a mildly surprising because he, too, has a career-long history of struggling against lefties. But, I think they feel that Schaefer has changed some things in his swing and tracks the ball a little bit better now, and this is the new Jordan Schaefer, so I think you'll see him in there more against lefties. Won't be a pure platoon.
Yeah, I was surprised to not see Shane Robinson in there, the right-hander, the other center fielder. But that's just me. Mike Berardino, we're talking Hardball opening day baseball. Minnesota Twins lose 4-0 today in Detroit to the Tigers. Hardball brought to you by Nature's Fury. NutriDrink vitamins have never tasted this refreshing. Got about a minute to go here, Mike. And the question for you is, Irvin Santana with the 80-game suspension for PED use coming down on Friday. The way the Minnesota Vikings were kind of shell-shocked with the Adrian Peterson indictment after the first game of the NFL season last year. I know it wasn't even Irvin Santana's day to pitch, but do you think that news is going to affect this Twins club in a negative way going down in the next couple months till he comes back?
I don't see that. I mean, they play 10 times as many games as the NFL. Some guys get hurt all the time in baseball. You never go through a season with just five guys in your rotation. So they have to mentally, as we talked on the show over the weekend, they have to view this as basically a three-month injury absence, and they can't get all angry about what causes Irvin to be on the shelf during this period. They can't hold it against him when he comes back, and I don't expect them to. And the nice thing is it's there's no litigation, there's no protracted appeal process. He's just out. He's not coming back till early July. And that is a shocker, but you can certainly work around it. Mike Guffrey, the former Shocker, gets a chance to take that spot in the rotation, even if at the end. Nolasco is the number two starter now, but Guffrey no longer a reliever.
Wow. How much difference a day or two makes in that pitching rotation? But thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep.
Tomorrow, already your first day off, an off day.
Well, I'm going to go try to find some red planks.
Nice.
I don't know that they have any museums in Detroit. Detroit's dead broke. So
you can go to the Henry Ford Museum.
Oh, okay. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. I've been there before, but I'm staying downtown. It'd be a little tricky for me. I don't know if I can give you an updated report from that, but I'll try to find something worth talking about.
Yeah, right. Okay. Good work and good luck, and I hope you don't get murdered. It's a tough town.
It's a very tough time. Yeah. Keep alive. Keep it alive. You bet.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Off he goes. We have a little Mike's break. And on Mike's break, we're going to talk Mike Zimmer.
We're talking about
Mike Zimmer. Just what kind of coach did we get last year? What kind of coach do we have moving forward? It's his sophomore year, too, as a head coach in this league. He's been a coach for a long, long time. But second go-around for Mike Zimmer. Let's talk about that next.